Hi, I'm Otto. Welcome to Erin Sarah's podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up? You know, didn't sleep great last night.
Oh, okay. Starting with the negative.
It's just,
my favorite clip so far is just you being like, I just never, ever feel good. I'm always upset about something. It's very true. It's a kind of like a foster trait though. Nothing we should be proud of.
No, it's just, I'm like a newborn. It's like, if I don't have 8 hours.
We're all toddlers.
I like, my brain isn't functioning. I went to make Valentina's lunch this morning. I like burned the quesadilla. I also like burned the toast because it's like I operate on a two.
When you're also gripping your microphone like it's like your last jaws of life or something.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I got to be deficient in more than just vitamin D.
Vitamin D? I was going to say, oh, is this come back to vitamin D?
No, now I'm good on my vitamin D, but I must be deficient in other areas.
What about sleep? Well, we were traveling all week, and did you sleep well in Nashville?
I slept. Are we like 90, by the way? We're like, well, you know, the comforter was not really to my liking. I mean,
we're not old,
embarrassing.
We're difficult. Yeah, there's a difference.
No, but I wouldn't say that difficult.
We are very difficult. We have very specific things that we need to sleep. We need like, I mean, I can speak for myself.
Speak for yourself because you've
got. Oh, you're so easygoing.
Well.
You can just sleep anywhere. You just fall asleep on the couch right now if you're so tired. Take a nap.
Aaron, if you don't have earplugs, an eye mask, a certain...
I was just going to say, I need a quiet room. I need an eye mask, a silk eye mask, actually, specifically. I need earplugs.
That's crazy.
And I need a specific temperature. If the hotel room gets hot, I can't handle that.
We sat at dinner while Aaron and Montana were like scouring the internet to find earplugs at 10 p.m. in Nashville. I mean, it's a lot.
Well, also, Simon kept saying, can you please get some earplugs? Because he gets really stressed out when he gets up before I do, because it wakes me up. And once I'm up, I'm up. Like, you can even just rustle in the bed. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, now I'm up because you had to get up at 7. I'm up at 7.
I don't enjoy sleeping next to you. I think the last time we did it was at Jamie's parents' house. And it was awful.
Jamie's? What did
I do? Because I'll tell you what you do. Okay. So it's normal to move. It's normal to adjust a pillow. Mm-hmm. It's normal for your leg to switch positions.
Okay.
But if you're sleeping next to Aaron, and if God forbid you turn your head to the other side of the pillow, she goes, ugh.
That is not true.
Yes, it is. You can feel your annoyance.
Uh-huh.
Poor Simon. Is all I can say. How does he do it?
Well, I'll say this. If I'm feeling like I want to take Simon down now, right now, just because I'm getting a lot of heat and I'd rather him go down than me. Simon is even more fragile of a sleeper than I am.
Oh,
and
God.
I will get up to pee once in the night and the next day he's like, oh, I didn't sleep great last night. I mean, you were up a lot. And I'm like, up a lot? I peed once. You pee all the time. It's like, you're just peeing all through the night. Like, he's very, very fragile. And like, yes, it's true that I am very clumsy. Like, I drop things and they make loud sounds. But when I drop something, Simon like awakes up as if an earthquake has just happened. He's been like awoken with like an emergency. I mean, he's very thrown by it.
My takeaway is that two major exaggerators found each other. Major exaggerators
Simon's
found each other.
Not a major exaggerator. Oh, you but just, I'm saying he is.
You just said you pee once and he says you pee all night. And it's very in line with how you operate. If I do something I do it all the time.
I think that you need sleep. I think you're sounding like a little bit of a...
I already said I need
you're
sleep.
You're sounding like you're looking for a war right now or
no.
Looking for a fight because you're tired.
I am tired, but just a little acknowledgement. You should just be like, yeah, two exaggerators did find each other.
Nope. I don't agree with that because I believe that you're an exaggerator and we just see each other differently than we see ourselves. I believe you... You know what? No, I'm not going to say you're an exaggerator. I believe you stretch the truth.
Okay.
And turn it into untruths.
Okay.
Maybe I'm exaggerating.
Let's pivot because this is boring.
Right.
I would like to mention that we are in a different room in the house. And it's because Aaron has decided to visit and now work with a feng shui-er. Yes?
Uh-huh. Feng shui master, I believe they're called.
So now we're living at the hands of this feng shui-er who has...
Feng shui master.
He's a feng shui master. We are no longer allowed to sit in the room that we've been doing all of our podcasts from because apparently in that room you lose all your money if you
our
sit
money
there.
Falls out of that corner. If you want to lose all your money, yeah.
Right, but we've done amazing podcast episodes in that corner.
Well, it's not like we're, you know, flying private, you know? I mean, those podcast episodes haven't changed our lives.
I don't think anyone's flying private off of a podcast.
Okay, so then why are we bragging about that room?
It's just a cozy room that we're not allowed to be at anymore.
Listen,
so then she moved us. I got the floor right now.
You don't have the floor. Allowed to interject.
You can't. But then she moved us to the dining room, which that's where we did our Jen and Jamie episode. I felt very stiff in that episode.
I felt stiff too, but I don't think it was because we were sitting at a table. I think we were just like nervous having our best friends on.
I wasn't nervous at all. I was uncomfortable. Your chair is like a wooden chair.
I mean, I get a lot of compliments on those chairs. They have a cushion.
Well, because no one sits in it for 3 hours.
No, they have cushions. They're restoration.
No.
And they have cushions. Listen, I will admit, I was a little surprised because my house, well, we don't own this house, but we rent this house. The house that Simon and I live in.
Your rental.
Our rental. We've lived in this house for like 2.5 years and it's got a great vibe.
Great vibe. Yeah, it does.
People love being here. Yep. A lot of natural light.
We used to love it until you kicked us out of the cozy rooms.
But it's a really great house. It just has a very, very good energy about it. So I was very surprised when I learned that our living room was rated an F. F for failure. It was rated an F. And he was like, you cannot be in that room at all. All your money falls out of that corner. And he wants me in the dining room. Simon and I don't sleep in our... Simon and I don't sleep in our primary bedroom anymore.
Hold on. You need a rewind for all the people that don't know. For all the people that don't know, there are experts called feng shui masters. And it's their job to come to your home and to lay out the best possible scenario for... thriving in life, right? Yeah. In all areas
health,
of life.
Health, wealth, and love is what they say. Health, wealth, and love.
Yeah.
Those are the three categories that they look for. So our bedroom got a C minus until 2022. Every year, the energy like changes based on the numbers.
Oh, so and you'll flip everything around next year.
Depending, I don't know, we'll see what 2022 energetically looks like for us.
So it could be totally different.
I think it can be totally different. Our room got a C minus, so he told us we cannot sleep in there anymore. He also told us that is not the fertility corner of the home. The guest room is. So now Simon and I sleep in the guest room. We also had to move the guest room bed from one wall to another. And
it's important to mention
we don't sleep well in there.
Name the name of the restaurant, but there was a restaurant.
No, we can name it Craig's.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, Craig, the owner of Craig's, very popular restaurant in LA. He used this feng shui guy and he swears by him.
Right, because he was in a location that was always failing, right?
He was going to open a restaurant in a location that always failed, that no restaurant survived there. And, you know, Craig's is like the most popular restaurant in LA for the last, I don't know how many, 5 years, 6 years?
Yeah, a long time, longer.
8 years.
Can't get a table there ever.
Yeah.
Always booked.
I'm always happy to help you with a table if you need help getting a table.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can always call him for you.
That's kind.
Yeah. You're okay. Welcome. And he swears by this guy that he told him like the way to lay things out and where to put water troughs and candles and like, and he says this guy is
he credits
a big,
the feng shui master for half of the success of the restaurant.
I don't know if it's 50% specifically, but he definitely would not open another restaurant without getting advice from this feng shui guy.
The water troughs in the back.
It's very important where you put water.
Yeah.
So we have two huge water troughs that we have to put on the side of our house that I can't even lift them. They're so big. It's like to feed cows, like huge metal water troughs.
Oh, I know. They were in my car. You used my car to get them.
Yeah, because they wouldn't fit in Montana's car and they wouldn't fit in my car. And
did you thank me, by the way? I don't remember you ever saying thank you.
For letting us use your nanny car for an hour? No, I haven't thanked you. Do you need a thank you for that?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, this is very classic Sarah. This is something that Sarah will bring up.
Like, hey, thanks.
This is something you'll bring up in like a month from now. You'll be like, oh, and then that one day you use the nanny car and you don't even thank me. Like, honey, I do a lot of things for you. Okay, I don't expect thank yous for them, but
don't give me presents.
Sarah, oh my God, here we go. Here we go.
I thought about that in the middle of the night the other night. How you know, it's so weird. It came in. Remember how I told you I never think about you at night? Because I don't. I think about a lot of other things. That came into my thoughts.
Okay, talk about
that. That crept into my thoughts.
Sarah, let it out.
We'll talk.
I have an answer for you. So
keep continuing with the function.
Okay, but let's put a pin in the gift thing because I have something to tell you about it.
Okay.
Here's how I feel is that a doctor friend of mine highly recommended this guy, and she is a no bullshit kind of person. She's not like into, you know, all like this like woo-woo stuff. Craig swears by this guy. So I took a chance and had a call with him, and he had a lot of thoughts about our house and areas that we should be spending more time in or less time, where to put candles, where to put like metal weights to like pull the energy down.
Oh yeah, we are surrounded by weights right now.
Metal weights.
There's a metal
not
weight.
Surrounded. There's two.
There's one under us.
Talk about an exaggerator.
There's one. We're surrounded. There's one. We're in the middle of weights.
There's two metal discs.
Hold on. Technically, are we surrounded by weights? We've got a weight on that side of you and a weight on that side of me. So okay. We are surrounded.
We're in a large room and we have two 25-pound round weights, like the discs that you put on the end of like a barbell. I'm supposed to slide them under the couch. There's two in this room.
What is the significance of
this? I wouldn't say
we're
surrounded by them. I don't know. It's supposed to pull the energy into a certain area or something. But I will say he had us move the couch up like a foot and a half and it really changed the energy in this room and for the better. I really liked it. I like the change.
I don't feel that energy shift.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be hitting you.
No.
Because your energy is not really
aligned. Well, I feel a little more claustrophobic. Like it feels like we've made the room tighter.
Well, but you know, Simon and I feel that if you're gonna take a chance,
you gotta
spend money on seeing something like this, you gotta actually go all in and try it to see if it makes any difference.
If it makes a difference. When will we know if it worked?
I don't know when we'll know. I guess when something miraculous happens.
When we get a plane off this podcast.
Yes. I mean, our money should be shifting soon.
It really should. When are we going to see
that
money shift?
The water troughs are not set up yet. They're very heavy and I need help with them. So they're not set up. So the water is a very important part of this. So we're not fully swayed
yet. Oh, so we're not going to be seeing results.
Our fung is not swayed yet.
We're not going to be seeing results until the water is near us.
We need the water on that side of the house.
Well, what are we waiting
side.
For?
They're very heavy. I just couldn't lift them the last 2 days
but
by myself.
How heavy? The troughs are not that heavy.
They're metal troughs. Right. I'd love for you to.
Well, how'd you get them from the car inside?
Montana and I did it together on a dolly.
Okay.
Well, your bad energy is like all over my feng shui.
No, I'm just trying to understand.
You're not sounding very supportive at all.
I am very supportive. It's just...
You're upset about not being in the living room
I
anymore.
Really liked the vibe in the living room.
Listen,
there's a fire. I feel my best.
I love the living room too.
That room has a great vibe.
Well, I just put a 25-pound metal weight in there and maybe that'll help.
I hope so.
But I love that living room too.
Yeah. Well,
but listen, we're also looking for houses. So hopefully we find a house to buy.
Yeah.
And then, you know...
Look, it is...
Feng shui before we get in there.
People do swear by feng shui. So... I would not be able to bring a feng shui master to my house because I have so much clutter. I'd be too embarrassed.
He's not concerned with clutter. We asked him that. He goes, no, people live their lives. Like you have to be realistic. It's not about clutter. It's not about the things that we think it's about. It's very strange. Like
I'd be too ashamed, I think, to have him come over. I have really, you haven't been over. My house is a little shameful right now.
Oh.
There is shit everywhere.
We grew up with a hoarder and we always said we were never going to turn into a hoarder.
Are we calling her a hoarder?
Mom? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she knows
yeah,
she was a hoarder.
Yeah, but the home didn't feel like that. Like she hoarded
magazines,
things that like if you were to walk into our house, you wouldn't be like, oh my God. I feel like you walk into my house and it's like, oh God.
No, we couldn't have been on an episode of Hoarders for
no.
sure. But there was a lot of stuff.
Montana actually just told me yesterday I could be on an episode of Hoarders.
How else could you have meant it, Montana?
She did. And then she said it. And then she goes, oh no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I go, it's okay.
She probably meant someone to come in and help you organize, right?
Yeah. We were like, let's tackle this ourselves. And then we got into the room. We were like, I think this is a job for the home edit or like, but Instagram was down and I couldn't message the home edit.
Ooh, let's talk about Instagram being down.
Should we go to that?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I sort of like, and I'm not trying to say that I love Instagram. Don't get me wrong. It's a great tool for us. It's been amazing for us. It is amazing for us. But like yesterday, I was like, all good. People were freaking out yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God. And then all these stupid like reels came after people being like, oh God, all the things I was, you know, couldn't do because of Instagram being down. It just made me sort of like, people need to like get their shit together mm-hmm. because you cannot, if you have a day that you can't fill up, if Instagram is down, mm-hmm. I think we got to like reprioritize life.
Yeah. I felt free. I felt very free. And you know what I felt like it was like when you have Stockholm syndrome, you know, like you're held captive by
Sorry,
someone.
What's Stockholm syndrome?
I'm just explaining it to you. Yeah. It's when you're held captive and you begin to think that you like being held captive by that person.
Right.
Like you fall in love with your kidnapper.
Yeah.
So I realized that like we've all been held captive by Instagram and we've loved it. We think we love it. We enjoy it. But then it's like your captor like takes you out to lunch, you know, with like a gun under the table focused on you so you can't get away. But like you go out to lunch and you go out to the real world. And
well,
then
if you're
all
at a restaurant,
sudden,
you could just say there's a guy with a gun.
Okay, that's true.
But not and then people would help you, probably.
Okay. But like your captor takes you out to lunch and you're in the real world and you get a glimpse of like what else is out there.
Yeah.
And you start to go, oh, maybe I don't love being held captive. Yeah. Maybe I want to be out in the world. I felt like that yesterday. Like we get so much joy out of social media and it's such a huge part of our lives. But then sometimes because it is so addictive and we don't know how to put it down, I felt very released from its like grip yesterday, you know? Mm-hmm. And I, by the way, we are friends with people who work at Facebook.
Yeah. And who do a lot of good.
And who do a lot of good in the world and like definitely have good intentions and are not definitely not part of the problem, but it's a huge company. You just never know what goes on around there, you know? Yeah. Everything. Here's
look,
the thing.
There's good and bad to all of it. If it wasn't for Instagram and Facebook, everything I did for families and Christmas and everything you did for teachers, like wouldn't, how would we do it?
Yeah, it's
like
true.
There are amazing.
You have a huge
outreach. The story that I told about, I was able to get a kid the insurance to approve the medication they needed for their brain.
That was crazy.
Situation. Truly, that happened because of Facebook and Instagram. Dipsy is very interesting. We are all...
Your voice always changes when you do the Dipsy ad. You get very sexy.
Yeah.
Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on.
It is pretty interesting that you can listen to audio about like real life situations mm-hmm. and that people use that as a form of like... foreplay mm-hmm. or...
But it's also, if you need to wind down, Dipsy also has wellness sessions, sensual bedtime stories, and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very relaxing.
Very relaxing. Everyone needs an escape, I think. So we're all like, you know, stressed out. Days are long.
You can listen to stories about hooking up with your hometown crush that you never made a move on or a coworker
right,
that you had
just
a little
like,
thing for.
Get a little lost.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe a story that puts you in bed with someone who's telling you exactly what they'd like you to do.
Yeah, I think it's a very, it's like an ulterior route of meditation.
Alternate route.
I said ulterior.
Yeah, but I think that's not the right way to use that word.
Alternate. It's an alternate route to mm-hmm. meditating.
Yeah, I think it's just like something that
makes
you feel
good. Every week there's a new one. Every week there's new content.
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Relaxing, sensual. Yeah. I think it's important for us to all get really in touch with our sensual
side.
Well,
that's for sure.
You for sure need it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Simon loves it, as I said in the...
He's a big fan.
Yeah, big fan.
So for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/foster. That is 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsestories.com/foster. dipsystories.com/foster.
Tell them we sent you. Athletic Greens, AG1. We love Athletic Greens. This is a New Zealand-based company. I've said it before.
And it's really, what's so important is that we don't realize how many greens and minerals we need to get into our body.
Probiotics, and how depleted we are.
Multi-minerals, yeah. Vitamins, whole food source ingredients. And so one scoop of AG1 with a little water has 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multi-mineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more. And it's like one scoop in some water, and then you just start
your
day.
You're like done. You literally need nothing else.
Yeah, and it's really good to put this in your body first thing in the morning before anything else.
Yeah, you can totally do it on an empty stomach.
Yeah, lining your stomach with like acidic coffee first thing instead of this, it's just like sends your body down the wrong path.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing that one scoop and you truly have everything you need.
Yep. And I believe if you do this every day for a month, you will see the difference.
I think too, you can take it on an empty stomach because capsules, like think about it. Like I was taking like 20 capsules a day.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. I take a lot of vitamins.
Yeah. This doesn't make you feel nauseous at all.
Not many people can eat vegetables like 3 times a day.
Exactly. So this is the right alternative. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and contains less than 1 gram of added sugar. There are no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, or artificial anything while keeping it also tasting good. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
So join the movement of athletes, lifeleets, moms, dads, rookies, first-timers, and everyone in between taking ownership of their daily health and focusing on the nutritional products that they really need in the simplest manner possible. That's Essentialist Nutrition. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/foster today. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/foster to take control of your health and give AG1 a try.
I will say on this whole Instagram thing, I have decided I'm going to go on a muting rampage. I don't know, like, what kind of narcissist thinks that we want to see your day 24 hours? I do not want to see, I am not following you to see you right when you open your eyes, what you're eating for breakfast, what you're making your kids for breakfast, your kids eating the breakfast, then deciding like...
I would have liked to see that burnt quesadilla from this morning when you made it for Valentina.
That's a great point. It would never occur to me to film myself while I'm making breakfast on a school morning. I don't want to follow anyone's life 24 hours a day. I'm not interested. And I know there are people that it's their job and that's how they make a living, filming themselves 24 hours a day. I am going to mute all those people.
Okay, good. I think you should go on a muting rampage. But am I on that list?
No, you never film yourself doing shit like that. We post things if something's funny or something happens organic, or if we're, for instance, at this pop-up and we want to document like an actual event. But people that wake up and film their lives from the morning they wake up till the night that they go to bed, you, I think, are a narcissist. I don't know. It's weird to me. And I just realized I don't want it in my life. How do you feel about that?
I feel very similarly.
You do, right?
I do.
I was laying in bed in Nashville because I was like alone. So I had like a lot of time on my hands. I'm like in Nashville at the hotel. I'm like,
yeah, you turned down pretty much all the plans that we made for you.
Yeah, I was just like in the room and I was like, I filmed like
at the graduate. We love the graduate.
At the graduate. We love the graduate. I filmed like putting a plug into the wall that wasn't fitting. And I was like, this feels so weird. And then it made me think, this is what people do. Mm-hmm. People film these stupid fucking moments that no one cares about. And I don't want to follow it anymore.
I think you need to stand up for what you believe in. And you have to mute these people.
Anyways, so back to the Instagram outage. So think about all the people yesterday that literally like didn't know what to do with themselves all day. I wonder if those people reevaluated life a little bit. There were a lot of really bored
people. They probably didn't.
Yesterday.
They probably didn't.
No?
I don't know.
Did you get, well, you're not on Instagram that much.
No, I am. I mean, to me.
You don't post that much.
It's not that I post that much. It's that in between any like thought or any activity, my instinct is to go to Instagram.
Right. Like, oh, what's happening on there?
I just go and Simon put a limit on mine.
Yeah.
He put a 45 minutes a day limit and I bypass it often.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Think about all the.
I don't even know what I'm looking for. It's like, I don't even enjoy what I'm looking at. Yeah. I'm just sort of like, it's what I do so that I'm not sitting alone with my thoughts. And that is the thing that feels unhealthy to me is like, why I'm not going there for any purpose or any reason. And anything I'm looking at or seeing brings me no joy. I'm just kind of like, it's like blank and I have to see it and experience it so that I'm like not sitting alone with my thoughts. And yesterday it made me like read other things in the news.
Of course.
It made me sit. I was in Nashville and I was with Simon and his team. Their new offices at the Live Nation building opened yesterday. And so I went with Simon to see his new office and I was sitting there and like there's no phones hooked up. There's no TVs hooked up. There's no internet there yet. And I was just like sitting in an empty office and there was no Instagram and he was busy like meeting people and stuff. And I was like,
ooh, what'd you do?
I read some articles.
Yeah.
I read some news and there was moments where I just kind of sat there with my thoughts.
Totally.
And I just sat there and I thought, this seems kind of healthy actually. Mm-hmm. Just sitting here alone with my thoughts.
I didn't have Wi-Fi. I always get Wi-Fi when I fly. It's like, duh, you just like get Wi-Fi. And unless there are certain flights where the full flight is $39.99.
No, it's crazy how expensive
it's getting. I'm sorry. Are you kidding me?
I'm really shocked at how much they've
driven up the prices. How can they get away with $39?
I'll tell you how, because we need it. Because we want it.
Right. So it's like, we got to stop. It starts
I guarantee it's going to be like $150 at some point.
For LA to Dallas. It's really
You know what else I've done sometimes?
It's not right.
I just do the 1 hour pass to like, you know, limit myself.
Right. And that's usually 10.
And then I re-up the 1 hour pass. Right,
so then you're even spending more for the full
yes,
flight.
And then I re-up it like 3 times. And I'm like, Aaron, what are you doing?
So I didn't have Wi-Fi on a flight recently. And I finished this book that I've been wanting to finish and like took very detailed notes.
What's the book?
I can't even tell you because I've talked about it so much and I didn't finish it till recently.
Oh God. You started it like 3 years ago? It's okay. There's no shame.
Write it down. Make it happen.
Okay. You have been reading it.
I've been reading it for a really, But
you know what? I don't think that matters.
I take notes while I read.
I'm a very slow reader too. And you know what? A book does not have an end date.
I'm not a slow reader, but it's because of all the distractions. I'm actually a fast reader, but it's because of all the distractions we have. It takes me, it's not something to be proud of.
It's a couple years.
Well, it's not a couple years. I've been reading it since February.
Oh, but I don't think there's any shame in that.
I started it when we went to Hawaii.
I think that I have this all the time. I start a book, I don't finish a book, then I start a new book, or I read for 20 minutes before I go to bed or fall asleep, and it takes months to finish a book. I think that it's okay. A book can be an extended, you know, experience. It doesn't have to be this like start finish date. It's not where you're in school and you have like a book report due. You can read it however fast or slow you want. By the way, guess what? To make you feel better, I brought a book with me on my trip to Nashville. I did not open it once.
Yeah. But it does make me feel bad about myself. Like when I picked up the book, it's like it brought out like shame. And I've been talking to Josh a lot about shame.
Shame is the worst, most destructive feeling in our lives.
It's the worst, most destructive feeling. And shame is like a real constant thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should know that it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Shame it's so shitty because it's like, Josh has explained this to us before too.
Yeah. He goes deep into
this. Sarah's therapist is also Simon as couples therapist. Please don't write in saying that is unprofessional. It works for us.
It's funny. Sometimes he'll be like, we'll be talking about mom and he'll be like, I do know someone who also knows your mom. I can't say who, but that does sound like her. Like, you know, so he never like really says it. But
yeah,
I
think it helps because he has context for everybody.
Yeah.
But he explained to us once that shame is a human reaction that is biologically built into human beings. And it is meant to, for instance, if like some kids are playing with a ball and one kid like kicks the ball over the fence and then like loses it for all the other kids, that everyone is going to be mad at that one kid. And so when you feel shame, you like lower your head and you look to the ground and you look shameful, and that it's supposed to be like a sympathetic response that other people then pull you into the group to make you feel better. And that shame is something that like, I don't know if I'm explaining it great, but that shame is this feeling of you've separated yourself from the group and it's supposed to like help bring you back into the group.
By the way, I have shame right now thinking about the fact that Josh has also said this to me and I can't remember it to tell it. So now I feel shame that I can't remember things that people tell me.
You shouldn't feel shame over that.
But like shame is like, it's just, what?
That's not your fault. You can't remember it.
No, but now my head's going to that place of like, I wasn't paying clear enough attention. I didn't remember it. Now I can't tell that story on this podcast. And I feel shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Oh, you haven't watched Game of Thrones, but no. Simon and I watched Game of Thrones over the
never seen one episode
pandemic.
Of Game of Thrones.
We started it front to back. And there's like a very famous part of it where this woman is going, shame, shame, shame. And it reminded me of that just now. Shame is a motherfucker.
Shame's a motherfucker.
It's something that you have to like look at and deal with. By the way, for parents out there, shame is a very important thing to start teaching your kids. Josh has talked to us a lot about this. To help your kids not feel shame around things.
Exactly. Like because if that kid who lost the ball, right? If he kicked the ball over the fence and then turned around to all of his friends and was like, sorry guys, that was a mistake. And like laughed at it. Everyone would be like, oh, that's okay, buddy. Right?
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm such a loser. I'm such a loser.
Oh God,
everyone's gonna
hate
me.
Why did I do that? Oh my gosh.
Because shame is not a productive feeling. It really makes you turn on yourself. You blame yourself for everything. Everything feels so big, so embarrassing. And it's really harmful for kids to feel deep shame. So I think it's really important. Like the sex conversation we had on our last episode of the podcast with Shrink Chicks, which was great, was a lot about, you know, learning to not have shame around sex. And that starts from your childhood when people make you feel shame around sex. So it's so important to help your kids not go to shame first.
Right. So I think like teaching your kids early on to just always take ownership. Always take ownership, always own it, but the onus on you, make it light,
but also
and then move
even
on.
If you mess up, it's like,
it's okay to mess up.
You know, Josie, you know, why'd you do that thing? Like, I don't know. I got mad and so I hit so and so. You're like, okay, well, you gotta apologize and don't do it. And now we can move on.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the sinking shame of like, why am I so awful
it's
for
so
doing
funny,
that?
Because I do talk to the kids a lot about this. And so now Josie's thing, if she ever messes up or whatever, she goes,
I just didn't sleep great. I woke up too early. But like that's her way of taking ownership and taking it and then explaining
she's
it.
She's gonna talk about it. She'll say, like, I just feel really frustrated and that's why I did that thing. Like she's in touch with her feelings for sure.
Okay. So we do need to get this episode is a little different today. I do quickly before we go into how it's different and what we're doing, I wanna just recap really quickly. Nashville and our partnership with The Graduate and how cool it was.
Great.
Because, wait, I mean, don't talk. It's a pretty loud door you I know. Have there. Should we get some WD-40 over here?
I don't know.
So we did just get back from Nashville.
We're on a college tour.
We're on a college tour. I don't know if we've spoken about it on the podcast, but it's really freaking cool. And I will say it was you made it happen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No denying it.
Thank you. When Simon and I got married and did you have more to say?
I did, but I'm used to you just completely cutting me off.
I thought we were having a conversation.
Yeah, go.
When Simon and I got married in Nashville, we planned it in 3 months. We didn't know where everyone should stay.
Should I pee while you talk about the wedding?
No.
Okay.
And our friend that you and I grew up with, Mark Rose, I reached out to him because he was opening a new graduate hotel in Nashville. And I was like, should we get married in Nashville? Like, is it fun there? I haven't spent a lot of time there. Simon's never been there before.
The graduate hotels are all within a 3 mile.
Within 2 miles.
A 2 mile radius of a major college.
Radiance?
Radius.
Yeah. So he said, you should absolutely get married in Nashville. It's so fun. We're opening a graduate hotel. We could probably open it a couple weeks early for you. And all your guests at the wedding will all stay at the hotel and it'll just be us. So it was basically like camp. Like everyone at the hotel, it opened early for us. Everyone there was for the wedding. We put signs on people's hotel room doors of like their nicknames or their AOL instant messenger names from 15 years ago. And it was really amazing. Graduate hotels are, as Sarah said, always within 2 miles of a university. They have like a university theme. They're affordable. They're kind of like for like parents to visit their kids. They have study halls downstairs and they're
it's just an overall great vibe. And you were like, really we should be the general store at graduate hotels.
Yeah,
they have
no retail.
They have no retail. There's no like store to get things.
And the guy who started the graduate is this guy, Ben Wepren, who's awesome. He's like this young, cool,
such
very
a good idea.
Like just great guy. He really understood that there was a hole in the market for this. And they have like 35 locations now.
Expanding to 50.
And it's an amazing franchise. So we are going to 4 different graduate hotels. We chose like strong college markets. We did Oxford, Mississippi for Ole Miss. We just did Nashville for Vanderbilt. We're going to Tucson tomorrow for University of Arizona. And then we'll do Ann Arbor, Michigan for University of Michigan. And we're just testing it out to see if these people like Favorite Daughter. And so far, Nashville loves Favorite Daughter and Oxford, Mississippi loves Favorite Daughter. And it's been very successful and really great. But if I could complain for a second, I am really tired. It is exhausting traveling as, you know, Favorite Daughter is not our full-time main job. I'm still a TV writer and it's very tiring. I was like turning in the script that I owed to 20th as I was flying to Nashville and like making all the tweaks and changes and then selling the clothes all day and night, packing up, switching cities, flying back, one day at home and then back to Tucson. It's a lot. Sarah, I don't know where you went, but I was just saying how tired I am. Just in general. But it's been really great.
No, it's been really great. And we're trying to sort of prove ourselves in these markets and convince the graduate that Favorite Daughter should be the general store.
And I saw Ben yesterday, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. Saw him.
Okay.
Told him how great it went. Well,
hopefully other people told him how great it went because it doesn't sound great just coming from you.
Oh.
Because obviously you're not going to be like, oh God, it was really unsuccessful.
Right. That's true. But someone from the graduate that runs events did say, I heard this is
No, she said it to me.
Oh, she said it to you.
It was their most successful pop-up.
Okay, well, that's what I told Ben.
Right, but again, coming from you.
Again,
so I just hope that it's,
I hear what you're
it's
saying.
Never great just coming from
right. Well, from you. Hopefully but, some other people will tell him too.
Yeah. So we're really excited. I would love to do a few more of these because they've
well,
just-
you're in luck because we're about to.
No, I meant outside of the 4 that we've already okay, planned. Love talking about Jenny Kane. Went to high school with her. You know, I love to brag about that.
You love to brag about
it. I walk into the score in Brentwood. I'm like, so crazy. We went to high school together. They're like, cool.
The shopkeeper's don't know who you are. Don't care.
Yeah, the shopkeeper's like, that's cool. Like, you're not the first person that comes in bragging about that.
Jenny Kane is just sort of the ultimate destination for creating the space of your dreams because every piece is made to fit seamlessly into your home. And she used to just have like clothes and it was always like very coveted to have
such
like
staple sweaters,
her clothes. And now that she does home goods, it's just like she's going to take over the world.
Yeah, of course. She's doing furniture now, like incredible, like pieces to last a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Solid wood, the highest quality materials, like it's just, you can't imagine that she would find something that would outdo her clothes. And now like mm-hmm. the furniture is just, everyone's obsessed with it.
Yeah.
It's like solid oak, walnut. She does the bay coffee table. It's like, it's sort of like the hero item that everybody mm-hmm. loves.
Yeah. Her stuff is really amazing. It's all handcrafted textiles and versatile cotton and linen. It's perfect for a sofa update or a bedroom refresh or accented
pillows.
Addition.
Such a good pillows. Way to redo the space.
She has really good throw blankets. Yeah. I love her. By the way, her throw blankets are a great gift.
Don't underestimate what
I've been gifted her throw pillows. Yeah. Sorry. I've been gifted her throw blankets and I have gifted her throw blankets. Not the same ones. Not a regift.
But don't underestimate how new pillows and a throw can make you feel like you have a new sofa.
Or a new bedroom.
Yeah.
It's true.
And it's just, it's a good, if you're going to invest in pieces that, I mean, why shouldn't you have pillows for a lifetime, mm-hmm. right? You should invest
and
in
all her stuff
ones.
Is neutral, so it goes with any design.
Yeah.
So find your forever pieces at jennykane.com.
Oh, wow. We have a good discount for Jenny.
You get 15% off your first order when you use the code FOSTER at checkout. That is 15% off your first order at JENNIKAYNE.com, promo code FOSTER.
Ember Wave is the first wristband that helps you feel cooler or warmer at the press of a button. So like all the times you're, you know, I think it's great for women who get hot at night, right? And you just push a button and it instantly, you know, when you were growing up, they were like, put cold water on your wrist and it cools your whole body down immediately. This is a bracelet that you can wear at 24 hours a day. And if you run a little bit cold, it will warm you up. If you run hot, it'll cool you down. It's pretty amazing. Oh,
it's very, very cool. I always have temperature wars with Simon.
Oh my God, we all do.
We all have temperature wars with Simon.
Well, Simon keeps the house in like the 50s. It's a
nightmare. He's always very warm and I'm always cold. I do like to sleep in the cold, but when he gets out of the shower, his body like cannot regulate itself. His body is so hot for like hours. So he turns the AC down so cold because his body like can't cool down. So they sent us one of these Ember Wave bracelets and I literally put it on him and it cooled him down. But then I didn't have to live in like an ice cube.
But like temperature discomfort is a real thing. Being too hot or too cold is horrible.
Oh yeah, I've had hormonal hot flashes, like night sweats, and it is so uncomfortable.
Yeah, and all you do is you press a button and it literally creates like a cold or warm sensation on your wrist. And then your wrist can regulate your whole body, what's happening on your wrist.
It's amazing.
But it can give you the feeling of like soaking in a hot bathtub or being in a sauna or like having a cold pillowcase on your cheek. Like it can truly give you those sensations. So It's a very cool company. We found it through the podcast.
So you can try Ember Wave risk-free for 30 days. Ember is offering our listeners $50 off. To get this limited time offer, go to emberwave.com/foster and the discount will automatically be applied at checkout. That is $50 off your first order today. Go to emberwave.com/foster.
We have been sort of not stressed, but a little bit just like, is this boring for you guys to just hear us rambling about nothing? So we wanted to come up with something with a little bit more structure for our alone episodes. Obviously, our episodes with guests have structure. And maybe we'll go back to not having structure, but we thought it could be fun. People ask us a lot to mediate arguments, disputes, fights, things like that, right? And Aaron and I really like doing it. And we always have a different take on these situations because we're very different people. We do not have the same values in life. Aaron and I are very different people. Very, 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 very different people. So it offers an interesting perspective to these situations to people because we really come from different places because, again, we are very, 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 very different people. So what we did was we asked the audience, tell us about a quarrel, a lover's quarrel,
Doesn't matter how silly you might think it is.
I think you need me with you all the time. I was like overhearing you when I was in the bathroom. And I mean, it was just like honestly embarrassing.
Well, I wouldn't do a podcast where I'm talking
alone. I just heard you kept becoming like very, 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 very different. And like, yeah. I feel like maybe you don't
just
do so well on
your own. I was just trying to double down on how different we are.
So, no, I appreciate you making I appreciate you clarifying that because I need people to know.
Yeah. But so I think today, well, I don't think today, we are. We got tons of submissions. And I will say a third party unbiased opinion is very helpful. Like when a third party validates my situation and feelings when it comes to these situations with Aaron or whoever, it's like euphoric. It's really great to have that third party be like, oh, no, 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 you are so wrong. We should try to keep it short because I would like to get to more than three. You love to go on a tangent.
Thank you.
And sometimes your tangents are appreciated, but they are not appreciated today.
Oh.
So should we start like at the top? I mean, we have not prioritized these.
Whoa, I just saw a really wild one.
Okay, feels like that's the one we're starting with.
My boyfriend and I are currently in an argument. I caught him messaging another girl on Snapchat in the middle of the night while he thought that I was sleeping. I wasn't being sneaky, just wide awake. He's an idiot. Well, he lied about it, and later I uncovered that he was messaging her on Facebook dating. He thinks it's not cheating, but I think it is.
Oh, God. I'm telling you.
Oh, God.
We've talked about this before.
We're going to agree on this one.
There's so much temptation out there, and I'm not saying it's right, but it's really fucked up.
It's just very easy to access somebody.
Right. Like I said it to you before, when we were in Ibiza, there was this girl who was fully flirting with Tommy. And in the real world, how it used to be, you would be
never see that girl again.
You'd never see that girl again. You could never get a hold of that girl. Like there's no exchanging of the numbers because I had my eye on him the entire time. It couldn't have happened, but that girl could have easily just written night.
They could be FaceTiming right now.
Right now. And it's because it's just so easy to contact
so
anyone.
Yes, I will say that
I want to know how old are these people? Are they 16?
Well, if they're on Snapchat, they've got to be young, right?
I mean, not true. People are on Snapchat older.
But it's a younger app. No? Are you on Snapchat? I'm not.
I mean, I have an account. I'm not like active on it, but I do want to be like, okay, if these are like 16-year-olds, I mean, I do need a little more context here, but like, look,
no,
if you're in a committed—
No, Sarah, there's no context needed. If your boyfriend is sneakily messaging another girl on any platform of any kind while you are asleep and lying about it, that is a huge
red flag. It's a huge red flag.
He's waving the red flag in front of you, and it is up to you whether you choose to pay attention to it or not.
How do you lie about it? She saw you doing it, and you didn't only do it on Snapchat, but then you went on Facebook and also did it?
Facebook dating, specifically.
What's Facebook dating?
Clearly, it's like a dating app on Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, no, this guy's not great.
We got whoever you are.
Yeah, this
lady,
isn't even like a— there's no way to have his side at all.
I beg you to please take into consideration your
own self-worth. Yeah.
Knowing what you deserve and knowing that, like, you know, girls are always asking to how to find the right person, how to know who's right for you or wrong for you. This is a defining moment where this person is telling you who he is. He's telling you where he's at. He's telling you what he's capable of, what he's available for, how serious he is, how committed he is, how loyal he is. He is showing you, and it is up to you to either accept that or to live in denial. And if you live in denial, you're probably going to wake up to another situation like this very soon, over and over again.
Yeah.
Or you walk away and you pick someone who knows how good he has it.
And it's not justifiable or an excuse because like, oh God, it's just so easy. It's right there. I was bored. If Matt Damon's not, you know, slipping into someone's DMs, then neither should you. Matt Damon, that's a guy that's got a lot of options. He is hot. He is a movie star.
He's not slipping into someone's DMs?
Yeah, I'm saying Matt Damon has all the, what do you call it? Not opportunities.
I don't think he's on Instagram.
No, but it's not opportunities, but what is the word? Like options. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That guy is as loyal. That guy only has eyes for his beautiful wife and five children. And you never hear one thing about that guy. So if he can keep it in his pants and keep his fingers to himself, well, not
fingers.
That didn't sound great. I meant like he's not DMing.
Then you're
people,
saying then your boyfriend can't.
Then your like, you know, boyfriend should be doing the same. You got to get rid of him. There are men that will never do that and would never risk jeopardizing what he has with you. Clearly, he doesn't hold it.
Also, I'll say this. I have been in a lot of relationships where there was always like weird shit happening. Like stories didn't match up. This thing didn't make sense. You close your computer when I walk in the room. The story doesn't add up. I have a weird feeling around this girl. Like all these different things that the guys would always come up with excuses for. And you would tell yourself like, yeah, I guess it's a misunderstanding. Or like, maybe I'm being crazy. Or maybe I'm overreacting. I am here to tell you that like a healthy, solid, loyal, honest relationship, those situations straight up never happen. Never happen. From the moment that I met Simon, I've never been in a situation where I'm like, huh, you told me you were going to your friend's house, but then now I just saw that you were in the background of someone's Instagram. I'm saying if you're with someone honest, that stuff just doesn't happen.
I think too, there are like, we do need more context. This seems like a young
Sarah,
couple.
You do not need more context.
No. But I'm just saying there are times if you're like, let's say 20 years married and you find your husband, father of your like six kids, messaging another woman, then it's almost like, okay, we need to clearly like, we need to have a conversation.
Even if you're in a committed relationship, whether it be it's 6 months or 6 years or six decades, you can't be secretly messaging someone.
No. I'm just saying there's different like levels here, right? Like if this is just some young relationship, get rid of that guy. If you're 20 years in a marriage and you have six kids, maybe it's like, clearly we need to reevaluate the relationship. Like we need to see a therapist. Like you're obviously not getting something in this relationship that you feel like you should be getting. We need to talk. Like, so I'm just saying there are layers to the context.
Well, she said me and my boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. So she needs to get rid of him. DM us and maybe we know someone for you. Because we have a lot of single guy friends who are looking for young girls to start lives with. Okay. Which one do we go? Okay, please settle this debate. I haven't read it. One of us closed the garage door, which landed on the car that wasn't pulled all the way into the garage, damaged the car, and totally fucked the garage door. Who is to blame for this damage? The husband wife that closed the garage door without checking to make sure the cars were pulled all the way in, or the husband wife that didn't pull the car all the way in?
Whoa.
Pull it in all the way. How many times have you pulled that car into the garage? You know how far you need to go for the garage.
Why are you pulling it only halfway in?
Yeah.
Like you're in a rush.
I think the person, there's an understanding, right? Like you pull this car in the garage all the time. The person who pulled the car in, I think, is at fault. They should have pulled it all the way in, and then you get out and you check, is it all the way in?
Listen, this is like just marriage shit. Like Simon and I had a really big argument very similarly about our driveway gate, because our driveway gate is like, it's broken a handful of times since we've lived here. And when it rains, it always breaks. It always just stops working and someone has to come out and like make it work again. I would get annoyed with Simon because every time he comes home, Simon parks on the street. Every time he comes home, he doesn't use our walk-in gate. He uses his garage clicker, like the gate opener, and he like opens the entire whole driveway gate just for him to walk in instead of going through the walk-in gate. And I'd always say like, why do you open and close the gate unnecessarily? Like sometimes it breaks. What's the point of it when you're just walking through it? And he would say like, leave me alone. Let me live my life. One night at 11 o'clock, he got home from basketball and it was raining. He used the garage clicker. He opened up the whole gate and it got stuck open. And then we had to sleep that night with the garage door open. So like access into our house.
Yeah, that's scary.
And I was so mad at him. We got into such a fight and his argument kept being like, I didn't do this intentionally. I wasn't intentionally trying to like ruin your life. Like I didn't mean for it to happen. But I kept saying, I've asked you 100 times to just walk through the walking gate. Why can't you just walk through the walking gate? My point is, there's no one right or wrong. This is just living with someone.
Yeah.
This is just marriage.
Yeah.
It's like you have to let these things go. And I honestly need to hear that advice myself because I was very mad at the time about this.
It's truly impossible for both people every day to be their best. It's just truly impossible.
Or, like you go through life doing things exactly how you want them done. And then you live with someone who does things the way that they want things done. And it's very hard to make that work.
Yep. So I would say
you can't turn on each other.
Cut each other. You can't turn on each other.
Cannot turn on each other.
Some slack.
Because the person who drove the car halfway in clearly had a reason and was not trying to like ruin the car. And the person who closed the garage door clearly just did it without thinking. And these are the things that I believe get couples in the most fights, but they shouldn't be the thing that we're fighting
about. And
isn't
it crazy how just like, oh man, I'm sorry, just diffuses the situation right away.
Yeah.
Normally, if you're dealing with like normal people.
I'm sorry, I should have looked.
Yeah.
But it's hard. The reason why I have such a hard time apologizing sometimes is because it feels like I'm admitting.
And like you're validating that it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that I fucked up. Like I'm going, fuck, I have to admit that I fucked up. I'd rather stay stubborn and say like, no, I didn't
Living with someone is really hard. And living with multiple people, throw kids into it, it's not easy.
You have a hard time living with your kids?
Well, it's like I'm very specific about how I like things done. And guess what? Other people are not as specific about how they
I would
like
have a very
done,
hard time.
Or they're specific in their own way.
The way that Valentina comes in and steals all your makeup and like moves things around that you go, you like don't know where your toner is because she has it, that would really drive me crazy.
She has stolen all my eyebrow pencils.
That's annoying. You really need those.
No, I know. They make a huge difference on because I have light eyebrows and it doesn't work for my face.
You actually have dark eyebrows. I'm looking at
but
them right
they're
now.
Not, they're sparse. So when I fill in my
balding eyebrows, yes, it's different than light
yes,
eyebrows.
Well, they've always been like that. They're not balding. I've just always a lot had of bald sparse. Spots. Sparse brows and it makes a very big difference on my face. I fill them in dark, like darker. Like I do sometimes like a medium brown.
Maybe a little too dark.
I think it works for me.
Okay, got it.
So, and I've gotten a lot of compliments.
Oh,
thank you.
Got it.
Thank
got
you.
It.
But she now, at 10 years old, thinks she needs to fill in her eyebrows. Mm-hmm. So she takes all the eyebrow pencils. She also takes fully my clothes now, my nice stuff.
No, I know. I've seen it.
And then when I say, hey, clean up your room, she puts it in, she'd rather, instead of hanging it up, she throws it in the laundry basket.
Oh, yeah, so, I used to do that.
So she won't even, she'll take like cashmere and put it in the laundry basket because she doesn't want to just hang it up. Mm-mm. So anyways, I don't know how we got onto that, but yes.
Living with people is hard.
Living with people is
cut
hard.
Cut each other some slack.
Cut each other some
no
slack.
No one meant to ruin the car or break the garage door.
Yeah,
they're,
no one wants
they're
that.
They're just unfortunate accidents that happen all the time.
Also, as I said earlier, you do not operate on all cylinders all the time. Like when you are overworked, overtired, all those things, you truly like mess up.
Well, we are big fans of Framebridge. And guess what? The holidays are coming up.
Best gift ever.
And it is the perfect thing. I think you should start now.
Stop what you're doing actually right now.
Yeah.
And do this.
Well, finish listening to our podcast.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But then after that, you need to go and make an album in your phone of the photos that you would frame for people.
Well, like, first, make a list of like the top five
okay,
people
you can
in
do
your
this
life.
In any you order to- you like.
Yeah.
Any order you like. Make an album. Pick the photos you want to gift people for Christmas. I'm telling you, this will solve your
Christmas
holiday
gift.
Issues. You frame
you can do
one
all
or two
your
pictures.
Christmas gifts or Hanukkah gifts right now.
Yeah.
And be done with it. Never have to think about it. And your family
and
or
people,
friends will say, I got the most thoughtful
yeah.
gift from Serena.
I was just going to say, and people really appreciate it.
Yep.
And who's Serena?
I don't know. I'm just coming up with names.
Oh, okay. Just making up names. So you just go to framebridge.com and then you upload your photo and they'll send you your package safely in the mail.
No, hold it. But you pick the border, the frame you want. You can choose from like hundreds of styles.
You preview. So basically the photo goes up and you get to preview it in dozens of different frame styles and gallery wall layouts. So you can like literally choose your favorite or get free recommendations because they have like talented designers that will say like, you know, I worked with one of them and said, here's this photo of me and Valentina from my wedding. And they picked like, they helped me pick a frame. They helped me pick the positioning. They also helped me pick the size. So it's like very custom.
It's amazing.
It's really, really great. So instead of the hundreds of dollars that you're paying in a framing store that you have to go in physically and do it. And I always scratch mine
comes
up.
Comes right to your house. And by the way, shipping's free.
Yeah. And by the way, the prices start at $39 and all the shipping is free. Yeah. You just said
and
that.
We have a code.
Yes, so we plus our listeners will get 15% off your first order at framebridge.com when you use our code FOSTER.
And besides gifts, it's just picture frames. They're like art. It's just if that you have that like wall that feels a little dead, Framebridge.
Yeah.
Put a couple of like black and white photos. You can upload a color photo, turn it dark, and then make it like art on that dead wall. It's just such
you
a
You are so artistic. Also, October is Gallery Wall Month at Framebridge, featuring the launch of 6 new gallery wall layouts.
I love that.
So get started today, frame your photos, or send someone the perfect gift. Go to framebridge.com and use promo code FOSTER to save an additional 15% off your first order. Again, go to framebridge.com, promo code FOSTER. That is framebridge.com, promo code FOSTER.
And write it down. I know you're going to DM me in a week and be like, wait, what was the code again? Write it down, please.
We are a big sock family.
We're a big sock family.
We love having our feet covered.
By the way,
we're
love getting
cold.
Socks as a gift. You know, some people complain about getting socks as a gift. I love getting socks as a gift.
Nobody complains about that.
I think
socks
it's like
a
thing.
Great gift.
Socks are an amazing, they make me very
Mama
happy.
Mama started making socks after learning that their number one most requested item in homeless shelters is socks. Then they started making underwear and shirts too. For every Bombas item you buy, they donate an item to those experiencing homelessness. So it's like, this is a good company to support. Bombas socks, underwear, and t-shirts are super soft and they are made to last. With their 100% happiness guarantee, they are confident that you will be happy with your Bombas products or you get your money back. From fabric to fit to feel, everything that Bombas makes is made to feel good on everyone.
I love that. So you're not only you're buying great socks, but every purchase you're doing something good. I love this company.
I know. Can you believe that like the number one thing requested in homeless shelters is socks?
No, I can. What do you mean? I can. Because if your feet are cold or exposed, it just changes how you feel. It feels like it's comforting having socks on.
And get this. Thanks to Bombas customers, they've just donated their 50 millionth clothing item. Jeez. That is 50 million brand new pairs of socks, underwear, and shirts given to those in need.
Yeah, I love this. Everyone listening right now, please go buy at least one pair of socks. And know you're doing something good and you're getting a great pair of socks.
So there is so much more comfort to have and so much more to give with Bombas. Go get 20% off your first order at bombas.com/foster. That is bombas.com/foster for 20% off your first order. bombas.com/foster. This one's funny. It's kind of similar to what we're talking about. Writing in on things I fight about with my boyfriend. His COVID hobby became plants and he now has 25 in our tiny apartment. He takes them from their spots in the apartment and lines them down the island for the daily sun. I work from home right now on the island, so I'm surrounded by plants. LOL, help.
Yeah, that's not.
That sounds extreme.
That's extreme. I think we all have to meet each other in the middle when it comes to, you know, it's important for Tommy to have his tennis bags in the office. It kills me. It's annoying. There are these really like large tennis bags, like the largest tennis bags you've ever seen. And it's a little office and he just insists on having them right there. I'm like, keep them in your car, mm-hmm. put them in the garage.
But why what does he say about all the gifting stuff you have in the office?
Ooh. Okay, we're not talking about that right now.
Okay, ding, ding, ding.
But let me finish.
He doesn't give you any shit about that.
Let me finish. Oh no, he does. He does. But he
just saying that our life is so much messier. He's not messy.
And I hate looking at them, but he needs to keep him there. So sometimes you got to just be like, okay, just give a little, take a little, give a little, take a little.
So hard to not become passive aggressive.
If you are dominating an entire tiny apartment with things that are making you happy, that's not okay. A tennis bag is fine.
25 plants in an apartment is too many.
In a tiny apartment? That's just selfish.
Yeah, too many. Too many plants.
Let's find
plants. Also, it probably doesn't even look good. That's just weird looking. It looks like what's that musical with the plant that
Hamilton?
Takes over? No.
Oh. A Little Shop of Horrors.
That's it. Yeah. Your apartment probably looks like Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, that's selfish. That's not cool. How about that just feels selfish?
Yeah, I agree.
Work-life balance question. When job is very demanding and friends guilt you for not having time for them during... Okay, no, I don't like your friends already. Guilt you for not having time for them during the week, missing weekends because you can't take off work or work from home, etc. Are friends being unreasonable, unsympathetic, or do I need a wake-up call?
Well, you need to be able to balance things. But when it comes to work, I mean, we don't really have a choice, right? So if you're working really hard and your friends are feeling like you're not giving them enough time, I think we talked about this a little bit when we did the friendship episode with Danielle Jackson, who was very cool. And she said that when you're really busy, you should find ways to hang out with your friends that are not like, you know, going out to dinner if you don't have time, but saying like, hey, I'm running to the grocery store, like come with me and run errands with me, or I'm going to go on a walk, or like finding small ways.
So, or like FaceTiming while you're like organizing something in your bathroom.
Yeah.
Little moments.
So like, I do think that we could be probably better about incorporating our friends into our regular life, but I think that friends need to be easy on each other when the other one has work to do. Like, there's a phase
friends
of your life
guilt
where
you
have to
stand
focus
those
on
people.
Work at, for in your 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be a primary focus. You can have the success that you're aiming for so that it's all worth it. And if your friend is working really hard, then just say, like, hey, can I come over while you are running errands, or can I hang with you
it's
in a
one
way that's
thing
not
if your friend
disruptive.
Just isn't having time for you, but you're aware of other friends they're hanging out with or other friends they're making an effort with, but they're giving the excuse to you, oh, I'm so busy, I'm working. That's different. But if this friend really is working and trying to better their life and trying to also take care of themselves and isn't seeing other friends, cut that friend some slack and actually do the opposite and say, hey, I know you're really busy. I know you're really overworked. Do you want me to bring you dinner tonight? If you're too busy, I can drop off food. How about you like being there for that friend who clearly is overworked and stressed?
Yeah, I agree. Okay, here's one. Me and my friends are arguing that when your best friend gets married, it changes the dynamic of your relationship. When you hang out or visit them, no matter what, their husband needs to always come first. I think they're so wrong. I'm trying to figure out which position this girl's taking. When you hang out or visit them, no matter what, their husband needs to come first. I think they're so wrong. I can't tell which side this girl is on, but I will say, of course your relationship changes when people get married. I mean,
it changes, but I get annoyed with people that like only take their husband's side. Like if a girlfriend says something and then the husband disagrees with her and then the friend is like taking the husband's side. I like a woman that goes, well, actually, you know, Jerry, that's not fair. Like that's not true. What she said, you should validate or whatever. I just don't like people that are always like, my husband's always right. I'm always on my husband's side.
No, it's
like,
I mean, I don't know anyone who does that, honestly.
Oh, I do.
You do?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Oh, I don't know anyone who does that. I think that, of course, you want to be in a relationship where you can say like, well, no, that's not what she meant. She means this, or, you know, I think you're a little too hard on her. Of course you have to, but that's not really what she's saying. She's saying that when your best friend gets married, it's going to change the dynamic of your friendship with her. Like, does that have to happen or does it not have to happen? When you hang out or visit them, no matter what, their husband needs to always come first.
Well,
I mean, do I think that your husband needs to always come first? I mean, within reason, like you have to prioritize your marriage most often over
and you're
going to
have probably less time for that friend when you're single who you're probably hanging out with every Sunday morning. You're probably going to prioritize like doing something with your husband on Sunday morning since.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Every relationship is unique and every person needs something different. There are people who are really independent and do everything separately and don't spend that much time together and they thrive in that. There are other people who always have to be together. I think it's like you have to hope that your best friend gets into a relationship where
you like the husband.
You like the husband, you like the dynamic because like sometimes I'm in a situation where when my friends make plans with me, they're like, you know, is Simon coming? And I know that they want him to be there, right? But then other times that I go out of my way to be like, you know what? I need to have a girls' night. I need to not always do couples
things.
Oh, it's
so annoying though when it's a girls' night and someone brings a husband. Even if you like the husband, it's really annoying.
But I would
respect
never
the girls' night.
I would never do that because I would never want my girlfriends
people
to be like
that.
To be like, wait, this is a girls' night. By the way, Simon would never want
that.
To be at a girls' dinner.
No, we're not talking about Simon anymore. But I've been at a few girls' dinners where like a husband comes or a boyfriend. It's like, no. Now we 100%. The vibe is different. We cannot talk about the same things we were going to talk about. Now this night is like, it's not ruined because like we like the husband.
It's just different.
It's just different. The dynamic has shifted and I don't appreciate it.
So hopefully, I mean, I think there's a balance. Your friendship probably will change when your friend gets married because my friendship with Jamie changed, right? I couldn't lay on her couch four nights a week because I had a husband. He has his own friends that I have to spend time with, his family, alone time, together time. Like it does change a day-to-day, everyday best friend.
I do think though people should make a very cognizant effort of putting work into the person they love's friends. So I think if men are listening, go out of your way to see the best in your girl's best friend. Like that means a lot to her and vice versa. And vice versa. If you're a woman listening, put a little bit of extra effort into your boyfriend, your husband, your girlfriend, whoever it is in your life who you are in a romantic relationship with, their friend, best friend or friends, because it really does mean a lot. It's really—
I agree with that because you want to be able to give your partner an opportunity to like merge their lives. They had their single life. Now they have their married life. And if you incorporate that person's friends into your life and into your relationship, then it makes it your partner's life easier so they don't always have to decide. Like I always want Simon to invite friends over to like watch a game and to come and hang. And you're really good at embracing Tommy's friends too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, hopefully, you know, you have a partner who doesn't have terrible friends. But like, by the way, Simon and I,
it is hard though when there's a few brutal ones.
Simon
in there.
And I have both phased some people out of our lives that the other one just like didn't vibe with. That just kind of happens, I think.
That's sad. So you made him get rid of friends?
No,
you didn't like them?
No, there were some people that I just didn't connect with. Mm. And so, you know, inherently he reached out to them less and less.
That's horrible. I hope that you say to him, like, listen, I know I don't really like so-and-so, but like, I don't want that to affect your friendship with that person. You should do that.
Maybe I need to say that.
Yeah. He'd probably appreciate it.
It's not like he has a rule he can't hang out with them, but—
But guess what? Imagine how great it would make him feel if you're like, hey, Friday night, why don't we have over Bill and Janice?
I just can't do it with Bill and Janice.
But maybe you should try. Maybe it would mean a lot to him. And then maybe the next time you want to hang out with one of your brutal friends, he'll do it. You know, takes two. You got to give a little and take a little.
But there's also a lot of people in Simon's life that he tells me he's become closer to.
How am I 400? Bill and Janice?
I know, those are really old names.
What is going on?
But like I was trying to say, there's a lot of people in Simon's life who he's become closer with because I vibe so hard with them.
It sounds like you're just dictating the whole situation.
It does. No, that's not true. Because people who Simon vibes with, I have become closer to also. And people who Simon doesn't vibe with, I've become less close to. That's kind of the nature.
This one kind of pisses me off.
Oh.
My husband gets mad that I don't wipe down the counters immediately after cooking. Give me a minute, bro. What is the appropriate time to allow for someone to clean up after themselves in the kitchen? I think if you're someone who's not in the kitchen cooking and you are not participating, you don't get to have a say in the matter.
Agree.
It is exhausting doing all the things.
Pick up the sponge, bro.
Pick up the sponge and how about you
wipe it
clean
down.
And this whole excuse of like, oh, well, I worked all day. Guess what? We're all working all day. I work all day. I come home and I start loading the dishwasher. Like, it's just what you do to participate in the house working. It's just, it's not an excuse. I was gone all day working. It just doesn't matter. Everybody needs to contribute no matter what. Because guess what? The women that stay home or the men that stay home all day with the kids or doing whatever it is, that's just as exhausting and just as hard, maybe even harder.
More exhausting.
So everyone should contribute, I think.
I agree. We're living in a time where we are in equal partnerships. And so
anyone that has time to like yell about the counter.
If someone cooks you a meal, you don't really get to yell at them about not cleaning up fast enough.
I actually like the rule. And don't you have this rule? If you cook, Simon cleans.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I like to do it because I just
like more efficient.
Because I'm more efficient. I like because Simon takes a really long time when he does it. Yeah. And when he does it, he's like, this is my space. I'm cleaning everything up. And I want you to leave the kitchen and like give me my time. Cause he like will he'll have like a game up on his phone that he'll be looking at and he'll kind of enjoy the time. But he takes so long to do it because he thinks that it has to be like perfect. And so sometimes I'm like, we don't have an hour and a half. We'll just get in there and do it.
Everyone's got to.
But I appreciate that he's willing to do it because he
of course.
Sees. I mean, last night we got home from Nashville. We got home at like.
When Tommy puts a fork in the thing,
Tommy is not a big participator in the kitchen.
No,
let's just call it like it is.
He does make the coffee in the morning, which
is
very helpful.
He makes coffee in the morning.
And does the kids' breakfast. So like he actually is. But when it comes to cleaning, he'll bring the plates to the sink.
But then leave them there.
But I think it's because I've spoiled it. I always just do the dishes. Or well, okay. I leave them and then
if you guys
do
are
them in the morning.
If you guys are eating and drinking and having breakfast like on a weekend at the coffee table in front of the TV in the living room and then you run up to get the kids dressed, will he bring those plates into the kitchen?
Yes, he will bring the plates into the kitchen.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
I think it's really nice when all parties are like helping in the kitchen. The kitchen's, I hate cleaning. I hate doing dishes. I hate unloading the dishwasher. Hate it.
Yeah, it's annoying.
It's annoying. I'll do laundry.
At least there's satisfaction in cleaning a dish.
I would way rather do laundry than dishes. So.
Okay. So we're not on the husband's side on that one.
No.
But by the way, something to be said, we've been agreeing on a lot of these things, you and I.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
I love hard and show it all the time. Maybe too much, but it's just how I function. I go above and beyond for my friends and family. I don't expect the same back. I don't expect the same love back, but sometimes I do feel unappreciated or taken for granted. But some have said I'm being too sensitive. I don't think it's asking too much for a little effort in that department. It has led to some fights, and I feel stupid after the fact for vocalizing how I feel. Never feel stupid for vocalizing how you feel. Even if it's completely irrational, completely whatever, never feel stupid for saying how you feel because how you feel is real.
I identify with this girl.
I was about to say, is this you? Like, what is this?
It's like the old me when all my efforts went towards my family and friends before Simon.
Which we didn't even ask for.
Well, this is the debate. So I identify with this girl. Because, and I think there's not a black and white answer to this. Because on one side, no one has asked you
to go above and beyond
for everybody else, right? It's something that you
choose
to do.
Because most people don't have the bandwidth to do that. So people don't ask for it because they know they can't do it in return.
So when you willingly choose to go above and beyond for the people in your life, when they haven't asked for it, you do it because it feels good to you. It's because it's just who you are. It's in your nature. And then you kind of expect people to be able and willing and want to do that in return. And I think that you are right for feeling sensitive to it, for getting your feelings hurt, because it is shitty. Like, I was always that person in our family. I always went above and beyond for everybody else, and I always got really sensitive when people didn't do it in return. And I think that there's no right or wrong answer because, you know, they say you have to meet someone where they are, right? And you can't make, I can't make Sarah be as thoughtful as I am, but Sarah is allowed to be whoever she is. And I have to choose, like, I have to know that if I'm going to go above and beyond, I know who Sarah is.
You can't go above and beyond for me. Expecting it in return. Don't do it then. That's not how you can operate.
Like, but I just want you to know, it's not that you do the thing so that someone will do it back for you. You do it with a good intention, but then you're like kind of hurt when people don't think of you as much as you think of them. And so it's understandable why you get hurt, and it's shitty that everybody isn't willing to go above and beyond for you.
And it's a great quality that you're such a lover. It's a, not you, this person.
Oh, I thought you meant me.
No, it's a great quality that this woman is, comes from like such a loving place. Like that is a wonderful, wonderful quality. And maybe she should only hope that she could inspire her other family members to come to the table a little bit more, but you cannot
expect. Did I ever inspire you to come to the table a little bit more?
Well, you inspired me to, not inspired me, but like you pushed me into trying to be a little bit more, not thoughtful, but like I've been very selfish in my life. And I think you forced me to have to like, be a little bit more, I don't know, like, sure, okay, if that's what you want to do, like, we can do that. Like, normally, that was never something I was interested in. It's like, I want to do what I want to do. I don't care what you want to do. And I think I've been forced, and it's just, like, about getting older, too. Like, if you are not operating in the world unselfishly, you have, like, that just doesn't work. You can't, as an adult, only operate fully selfishly and for yourself and expect to have any kind of healthy relationship. So it's like, as you get older, you have to face those
things. But the problem is that, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, Sarah, is that the people around you grow really accustomed to you catering to them, and then they expect it from you. You know, so you would start to expect me to be considerate of you all the time or put you first or think of like what you want to do or cater to you in some way. But then I wouldn't necessarily get it in return. And that does breed a lot of resentment. And I don't know what the answer is because on one hand, you could talk about, you could say to that to this person, well, stop going above and beyond for everybody. But if it's in your nature, like that's what you get joy out of doing. I like to go above and beyond for people. It makes me feel good. I enjoy it. So what's
right,
the
but then you
can't answer?
Punish other people for not doing it because not everybody operates like that. They have their own love language. They have their own form of showing up in the relationship. And maybe this girl's like always, you know, bringing food. I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe someone else is like, well, that's not my love language. Like I provide the home. Like I am the one that invites everyone here. Like, thank you for bringing the food. I don't know what it is. There isn't enough context here, but I just think this comes
back. It is true that we have different love languages and friendships as well.
Of course, we have different love languages in all relationships. And this just comes back to, we have to give everyone that we are in a relationship with the space to be who they are. We are all very different people. And that's just.
But what if the way that person is hard to get along with or hard to have harmony with?
Well, I think if it's specifically family, the goal in life is to not be estranged with family members. You got to find a happy medium. You got to like do your best to accept who the other person is. You just have to. If it's just like some random that you don't really care about, then it's like, oh, okay, that doesn't work for me. I don't have space for that. But if it's family,
but I disagree with, now we're going to a different area, but I disagree that you like can't be estranged from a family member.
Well, of course you can. If a family member has like done something really horrible, but like,
I just think that like, you know, you don't choose your family, right? So hopefully you're given people in your family that get along with each other and are thoughtful and, you know, get along, whatever.
We're talking about so many different things. Of course,
if someone is toxic in your life, at some point you got to cut them out, whether they're family or not. I believe that everyone has the right to live a happy, peaceful life. And if someone is toxic there, but they happen to be in your family, I think it's okay to cut them out.
But I believe that any relationship for the most part can be repaired with communication and meeting in the middle.
Not like you to think that.
I know, but I really do. I think I have, there are people in my life who aren't in my life anymore, but I know I could repair it in a second. I don't choose to, but you can repair and take away like catastrophic things that have happened, like such horrendous, horrific things. But like, I believe that you can repair any relationship.
I think the reason why I feel differently about that today is because I was always the person who went so out of my way for everybody else.
Yeah, you're exhausted.
That I'm exhausted by it. And now when people have done me wrong, I'm like one and done, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, cause I've seen that
shift in you.
I just feel this like, you know, for you and I, for instance, growing up and around like with family obligations, I always had the obligation on me, but you didn't take the obligation. You'd be like, I'm going out with my friends. I don't give a shit about that person's birthday or showing up for that person or being, you know, making an effort with that person.
But you chose to be that person. No, nobody asked you to be that person.
No, I'm not blaming you for it. I'm just saying because I absorbed all of the obligations for so long.
Because you chose to.
Because I chose to absorb all the obligations for all these people, I felt like I became like the scapegoat for everything. And now that I'm an adult and I've like created my own life, I have no room for it anymore. Mm-hmm. I hit my bandwidth and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to absorb all this. I'm going to offload it to somebody else. Cause I never used to push anything to anybody else. And now I have no room for it. I think I just hit my limit.
Yeah. And for you, that's where you're
but
at.
But you're like, you're just like waking up and you're just,
I don't want to be estranged. I don't want to be estranged from people. I just don't.
Which is interesting because you never used to care about
it. I never used to care about it. But at this point, it weighs too heavily on me to have chaos with people. I don't want chaos with people. I want harmony. Doesn't mean I want to like sit at a dinner table and like sing Kumbaya with everybody. But I don't want to have any kind of estrangement in my life with anyone.
I think that's good.
Yeah. Okay, well, it feels like we took a selfish turn because we made it about ourselves when we were really trying to help this kind, loving person who's desperate for our help. And I don't know if we helped her. Hi, huge fan of the podcast. Why, thank you. Here's a disagreement my friends and I frequently talk about. God, this is ramen a soup?
Of course,
ramen's a soup. What's the difference between a soup, stew, and chili? Yes, ramen is a soup.
It has a liquid broth.
If there's a liquid broth, it's a soup. I can't believe I just read that question. Okay. Well, there are no stupid questions.
Okay. There's one that says sibling debate and one says sibling drama. Okay. Sibling drama. I haven't read this yet. My little sister was supposed to be a bridesmaid in my wedding, and then she told me that she wanted to write the LSAT on the morning of the wedding. I'm already a lawyer, so I know all about taking the LSAT, and told her that she could take it any other time. I got upset and complained to the other sister who agreed with me. She thinks that I was turning my other sister against her, and now she won't talk to me. I even said that the next day that we disagreed, we could make it work, and she didn't come to the wedding and hasn't spoken to me in months.
Okay, this is horrible.
I am team bride 100% on this.
Hold on. The LSAT, you can just decide when to take?
I know nothing about it.
I thought Allison's Googling.
Yeah. Okay. 4 times a year.
So it's given 4 times a year. So on one hand, listen, brides seem to think that like, you know, they are the be all end all. Nothing is as important as their wedding. Like
I just want to say this. You can't speak on it until you have been a bride.
Because
I have a very different perspective.
Brides are
now.
A little crazy.
No, that's not fair. I have a different perspective now that I've been a bride than before. Because I used to fully get on board. I watched Say Yes to the Dress and I'd be like, Bridezilla,
no,
these girls
think
are crazy.
The world revolves around them.
No, it's not about the world has revolved around you. It is, I have a real understanding now of what it's like to be a sensitive bride. And when you have your wedding day coming up and it's the hopefully, God willing, the only wedding day you're ever going to have. It's not a birthday that happens every year. It's not New Year's Eve that happens every year. It's not Christmas that happens every year. It is the one time you ask everybody to give you 2 or 3 days that's just devoted to you, that they carve out and put other things to the back burner and prioritize you and celebrate you. And I have to say, from personal experience, it is really, really painful and shitty when people make it about themselves. And for some reason, weddings are like an opportunity for everybody around you to make it about themselves. The amount of people who had meltdowns around my wedding about themselves, around their role.
Let's not make it about you though.
Their role in the wedding, their seat at the wedding, what things I included in them or didn't include them in. People around you use it as this like vehicle to understand how important they are to you. And when people are selfish around your wedding, it's really upsetting.
Right. But playing devil's advocate, I doubt that this sister just decided like a week before, I think it'll be fun to take the LSAT on your wedding.
When you haven't got married, you don't understand what it feels like. So she may have been like, I can do that the morning of the wedding. Like it's not going to infringe on the wedding.
Is a very big deal in the sister's life.
But if the bride is like, hey, Katrina, my sister, like come to the breakfast because I want to like have, you know, champagne with everybody and get ready. And she's like, oh no, I have the LSATs. It's like, you put the LSATs on my wedding day? I don't blame the little sister for being like intentionally mean because she probably didn't know what she was doing, but I don't think it's appropriate to have done that.
I think as the bride, it's perfectly acceptable for her to say to the other sister, like, oh my gosh, can you believe Katrina is doing the LSAT in the morning of the wedding? That feels crazy. But we don't know the other side. We don't know if the sister is like, hey, Leslie, I will not miss any part of the wedding. I am taking the LSAT the morning of your wedding, but I will still be a fantastic bridesmaid. I will still be there on time. I will still all those things. We don't know. Maybe you know, she was just saying, kind of I can do it all.
When you're like, being a bride is so overwhelming. So many people
right,
put
but it's
so
also
much
overwhelming
pressure on
trying
you.
To become a lawyer.
Okay, but so many people put so much pressure on you. Like, and from the moment you open your eyes, you feel like the world is like caving in and that you have so many people asking you questions, asking you to make decisions, wanting to know what they should wear, where to get their hair done. Like just shit about themselves. People put so much stuff on you as a bride that you're under a lot of pressure. And if you that morning are like text your sister and say, can you come to my hotel room? Like, I just like, I don't want to be alone in here, but I'm too overwhelmed to go and see these crowds of people at the in the lobby. Will you have coffee with me? And she's like, oh no, I have the LSATs. You're like, wait,
I just think there's always
not available to me.
There's always more to the story. There's like,
I'm just validating the bride's sensitivity, and I wouldn't
say her wedding's any more important than this woman's like whoa. Path to becoming a lawyer.
Okay, well, that's where we disagree.
We're gonna.
That is where
I
we
just,
disagree.
I want to see. I am somewhere in the middle on this. I don't believe the world should just revolve around the bride, and this girl should have to postpone her LSATs, which might then postpone her becoming a lawyer, which then might postpone her life and her path and her career. Maybe she's not married yet. Let's also just think about what the sister is going through.
I really
so
believe
somewhere in the middle.
Once you have been a bride, you look at these things differently. Okay, I take issue with the concept of bridezilla now that I've been a sensitive bride, and I believe that people understand it better once they've been a bride. And I would have probably sided with you.
I'm not fully siding with the sister. I'm somewhere in the middle.
I'm just saying that it is impossible to know the amount of pressure on a bride until you have been one. And you do feel a tremendous amount of pressure to create the perfect day. It's the same way that like when you're hosting your own birthday party.
Maybe this is why I've never wanted to be a bride.
You have like a meltdown.
It's like a lot.
You think everything has to be perfect. It is a lot being a bride. It's just, I'm just saying it's very overwhelming. And I really empathize with her. That being said, I do believe that the younger sister, having not been a bride ever, probably didn't realize what she was doing.
Yes. And it all brings us back to being open to understanding that somebody else's feelings are not going to be the same as yours. And they're not supposed to be.
But I do want to give a little PSA, a little PSA to people. Okay. I want to give a PSA to everyone. If you've not been a bride and someone in your life is being a bride, just do everything you can to not ask them questions, to not put anything on them. Like, I've never been to this city. Where should I get my hair done?
Oh, yeah, well, that's,
what kind,
yeah.
Where should I stay? Don't ask any questions to the bride. Give them space and time and just be like available to them. I really implore people to do that.
Yeah. And then I one thing I want to say to brides, like the world doesn't revolve around you completely.
Okay, that's unnecessary.
Well, I'm just saying it revolves around you like 80%, but not 100. Like there is still room for other people to have a life.
Disagree.
Okay. Well, we'll see how.
See how what?
Okay. I don't know. Let's go to the next question.
We're wrapping it up with this question. Okay. It's light and breezy. The question goes like this.
Oh no, I found another good question.
Listen, he wants to name our daughter Pennsylvania and call her Penny. It's a hard no for
Penny's
me.
Penny's such a cute name.
Her name would be Pennsylvania Jones. He is not Indiana
That's
Jones.
That's actually a cool name.
I think Penny is
Penny
very cute.
Jones is a great name.
I agree. And I think Pennsylvania is a cool name.
But I think when it comes to naming your kids, both have to agree.
Yes.
Both have to agree. You
tell
just, you just
the
have
audience
to.
About the German rule.
Oh, German it's crazy. Law. You have to have a name approved. If you're having a child in Germany, and I hope I'm saying this right. This is just always what Tommy told me. Maybe he's like been lying, but mm-hmm. he's always said in Germany, you have to get the name approved. You can't go and name your kid Cookie. I think in Germany, they're like, no, Cookie's not a name. That's a cookie.
They have
that's
to approve it and say that it's like a real name.
They have to approve it.
Pennsylvania
and say,
would not get by.
Well, that one might get by.
Really?
Well, it might. You can't name your kid
Starfish.
Blanket. Blanket, you're not, sorry.
Oh, blanket.
Blanket's not happening
well,
in Germany.
I think that's for the best.
Yeah.
I don't think we need blankets.
By the way, even like the trendy names of like Apple, uh-huh. I don't think Apple works. Apple
no,
in
Apple
the U.S.
Would never
is a fantastic name. Germany doesn't work.
No, they would never let Apple.
What's another popular name?
Names have gotten pretty weird. Allison.
Oh, we have an explanation.
Okay, we have a clear explanation here. Germany. Names have to be approved by the local registration office called Standesamt, mm-hmm. Standesamt, mm. which generally consults a list of first names and foreign embassies for foreign names.
By the way, Otto.
The name cannot,
Otto wouldn't go through.
No, that's not true.
It Otto's, is.
They Otto's would, a German Aaron, name.
No, Otto is a car.
No, but Otto, A-U-T-O,
I'm
is
just
a car.
Saying, I don't know that Otto would go through.
No,
in Otto
is actually an old name. Otto's like a...
I don't know.
Otto's a name that's been around for a long time.
Maybe.
Sarah, just take the L on this one.
I still can't fully do it. I still can't fully do it.
Okay, well...
Okay. Okay, what is another name that would not work?
What are popular names that are very...
In the U.S.
Progressive and don't make sense.
Anyways, a lot of them. It has
to
be.
If you
want to
name your kid 11, that's just not going to happen.
11 would not happen.
11 would not happen.
Mm-mm. So there we go. Okay.
But we like the name Pennsylvania.
I like Penny.
We like the name Penny or Pennsylvania. Yeah. However, if you hate it, then you can't name your child that name.
Yeah, I think both parties have to feel good about it. Like, that's just a given. Both parties have to feel good about it.
All right, well.
Well, wait, there is... I do like this one a little bit.
Okay, then just do it.
Okay. This has been a discussion for 10 years. I moved to California. I moved from California to the South. Love the South, by the way. I can see myself living there. All my family lives in California still, and it's become obligatory that we have to be the ones to come back for every holiday, every vacation to see the family. Nobody comes to us. Our family says, you're the one that moved. It's expensive here. You can afford to travel. But I don't think it's fair that over 10 years, no one has come to visit us and we are always the ones going back. Am I being sensitive?
I'm on the family
because
side.
Because we chose to move. I am too. You move? Sorry.
Jordan used to be upset. Jordan used to get upset and I used to always tell her. She'd always be like, but I'm not there for that and I'm not a
not
part
our
of this.
Problem.
And blah, blah, blah.
Not
and
our
I'd
problem.
Say, Jordan, you moved away. Yeah. You're welcome to be in LA with the family anytime you want. Yeah. But you moved away. And now she really understands that. She's like, yeah, I guess that was fully on me.
Oh, because she's got British in-laws.
No, I think she just got older and was like, yeah, I guess if you move away, then like that's the decision that
is
you
it.
Make.
You cannot expect an entire family to spend the money on plane tickets, on also where do you stay when you go there. It's just not how it works.
Yeah, it just doesn't
fully,
work that way.
Fully on team family.
Sorry, when you move, unless if you move and you have some like huge farm that has 20 bedrooms and it's amazing, you can put everybody up, then yes, they should come
but
there.
But you can't expect family to fly themselves there and find accommodations when you are the one that chose to move and the whole family is still
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because we appreciate you being a listener, but we just can't take your side on this one. Okay, so
there's
let us
so
know.
So many good questions.
Let us know. I know we have to move on, Sarah. We have to. Let us know if you like the segment, if you like us, you know, helping with disagreements. And we'd love for you to also leave a voicemail so that we can hear it.
Yeah, or we want to play.
All the people did texts. So we'd love, the texts are great, but we'd also love you to leave voicemails so we can hear, you know.
It would be fun to play the voicemail too. And we can like, we won't say.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, so that you can hear the voicemail. We won't say your name.
Or if you want to say your name. If you like this segment and you want us to do more of it, then tell us, message the world's first podcast account and say if you liked it or not. Actually, we'll have Allison put up a thing today that says, did you like the segment? If you listen to it when the time comes. And if you want to text or leave a voicemail about your latest fight, the number is 323-379-9430. Put it in your phone. Put it in your phone anytime you have a fight and you want to let us know about it.
We are going to try to come up with interesting ways to make the alone episodes not feel
if you have ideas
stale.
Of segments that we should
or
do.
Or if you like us just talking about nothing, also tell us that because a lot of people seem to enjoy us just talking about nothing. But all right. Oh, our next week is a really great episode. I'm really excited for you guys to hear the next episode that you'll be hearing after this next week. It'll be much better than this one.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, leave a rating and review.
This podcast is executive produced by...
Can you not use that voice?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to sound...
Yeah, but you don't need to make it sexy.
This podcast is executive produced
just
by...
Do you have a normal voice?
Yeah. Aaron Foster, Sarah Foster, and Allison Bresnick.
Okay, I'll take over.
Our
associate producer is Montana McBurney. Our audio engineer is Josh Windisch. This show is hosted by Simplecast.
See, that didn't sound nice.
That sounded great.